Town, your host, Felicia Baxter. In this episode, I am trying not to do the most. Again, this is a special birthday edition because today is my birthday, as well as Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul. In today's episode, I'm going to be going through what I've been reading, newspaper subscriptions and Vanity Fair, while entire government over in Belarus is trying to cut off news reporting or news access online to his country. They're trying to basically get his butt up out of there. But I'm probably the only person that's subscribing to Real Print. I'll be talking about Kanye West going state to state, trying to get on the ballot as an independent for the birthday party. The fuck? I'll start my 1 of 4 part series, just discussing why do black men, and also probably expand that into more general hate VP-elect Harris, or really do they need to get out of their feelings? Because what I won't be watching is Klan Valley under the moniker the RNC. I'll also just update you guys on what I'm writing more from Tennessee with love, and just talking about in general updating chatterbooks online. And I hope you enjoyed this episode just as much as I've enjoyed creating it. And thank you for listening. Go shorty, it's my birthday. Go party like it's my birthday. Like it's my birthday. Birthday. Woo! Whatever you say about 50, that song is on point and banging. And welcome back to this part of the episode because I am celebrating my birthday like I would like to celebrate it, doing what I do, read what I want, but just don't get it twisted because I am not going to be doing any of that during this pandemic. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get my favorite meal from a faux restaurant in Hickson because I have to take my truck up there to get service today. I don't even know if that restaurant is still open, if it's been able or had the capability to survive this pandemic. But it's been more of a reading birthday. I'm the last person, I think, on Earth that has subscribed to the physical newspaper since I filter so much of what I watch on TV. To get caught back up about what's going on in Chattanooga, I actually subscribed recently to the Chattanooga Times Free Press, as well as after an unsuccessful voyage or trip to the Walgreens to pick up or see if I could get an early Sunday morning edition of the New York Times at 8:15, they already sold out. So I immediately came back. And now that I'm back in Tennessee, I can get my papers again. In North Carolina, The one place that I could get it from, the Barnes & Noble, they had stopped getting them as far back as when the pandemic hit and they went on lockdown and hadn't been restarted getting deliveries. But now that I'm back at an address that is getting deliveries, I feel pretty good. I'm just realized that I'm going to be out of town and I'm going to have to put both on hold at least for a couple of weeks until I finish up some business out of town. But in the meantime, I've gotten caught up on a couple of things. One of the main things that has caught my attention, not only with the New York Times and the Free Press, is an article about Viola Davis that featured her with natural hair. And it was just beautifully shot. But one of her monikers or credos for life and acting really struck me. And it's from Merton's novel, My Argument with the Gestapo. Not only am I going to possibly add that to the growing list of books that I actually want to read based on her living by its credo, I think the title is catching. And I'm just interested in more of what she said. But it was one of the things that struck out was this statement that she got from the book and she says she lives by. If you want to identify me, ask me not where I live or what I like to eat or how I comb my hair, but ask me what I'm living for in detail. Ask me what I think is keeping me from living fully for the thing I want to live for. And that's probably one of the true, circuitous, but it's probably one of the truest things ever said, because those little things that we think will allow you to get to know people, I think if you want to get to know someone on a deeper level, you're going to ask them that last part of that statement. Ask me what is keeping me from living fully for the thing I want to live for. And that's where we should start that conversation. And I think it's a wonderful thing to live by. This also brought me to having a whole bunch of magazine subscriptions that you don't really have the time to read. What is more poignant about her shot was the cover was actually shot by an African-American. I think that was one of the few from the last 140 years of that publication, which I found interesting. And even in 2020, we still are having firsts. I wish we would have less firsts like that. It was also one of the few featuring a woman with natural hair. One of the things that struck me also in this article about Viola Davis, how she did not get recognition until later on in her career when she graduated from the Rhode Island College. She celebrated with ramen and pickles pig's feet. And I thought, yeah, that's something I would have eaten. But said pickle pig's feet, I would have had smoked ham hocks, just saying. But I think that she recognized for so many years. She off-Broadway, on-Broadway, and the theater circuit, and then to How to Get Away with Murder, The Help. She's actually has gotten many fascinating roles, and she's done an amazing work with them. August Wilson's Fences, when she starred next to Denzel Washington. She's not a shrinking violet, which is kind of funny that her name is Viola, but she is an amazing actress. She's also really smart, savvy businesswoman. Her publication or her production company that she runs with her husband is a statement to how it took her years to find her voice, and she's just getting started. It took her late on in her career to get the recognition, but her body of work is vast enough that we know what to expect, and we can expect even more excellence from her. when I read further on in the New York Times, some of the articles are basically have been reiterated by the Times Free Press, but I always get a kick out of reading Vows and the style section to salivate over those things that I don't have or would love to put on my vision board or my wish list. Anything from Louis Vuitton, they have like a flashback to previous style that I actually saw that in Styles. There was an article about a Nigerian ballet troupe right outside of Lagos that since their video has gone viral, how a lot of the students from this small company, and actually the ballet school has actually gotten so many donations that they're going to be building and moving into better performance digs. And it was a beautifully written article. There's a lot of stuff that I glossed over because this is also the 2020 campaign. And I don't want to read a lot of the stupidity coming out of that occupant of the White House or his crony. So I kind of avoided the region as well as the what made front news. But going on that, along those lines, what I have read in the paper from Chattanooga was how the Republicans want to curtail the ability of their Republican governor to issue executive orders. They were annoyed how he responded to the pandemic by closing businesses and his stay at home. And I'm wondering, I thought he had responded kind of late. Some of the decisions that they made when they finally came down is because he listened to researchers. But this, again, these conservative Republicans are putting economy above people's lives. Why wouldn't you want him to respond and act like he got some blasted sense? I just can't, I can't understand that. Why do you want him to, why would you want to hamstring someone as they respond appropriately to an emergency? Why would you want to do that? You don't have to ask permission when they're acting in the best for all people, not just big businesses. We're going to see in the next decade how the response of different people and they're going to be on the and how their actions are going to be on the wrong side of history. And it's all out there. It's all public record. We're reporting on it in the papers, and we're reporting on it on podcasts like this. Are you going to risk how it's going to look, or you just don't really care? And when are we going to finally hold people that are supposed to be of service to the people responsible for their inaction? If there is a law that you're breaking, either ethically or morally, you're going to have to pay for it either way. One of the other things that also was interesting to me, I was thinking about seeing if I could get a paper edition of the New York Post. I honestly believe that it's going to be a while before I will be able to participate or go and fly up to New York and hang out in Brooklyn and one of the other boroughs because I don't trust travel right now. I don't even want to drive for that long period of time. So in addition to me subscribing to the New York Times, I was thinking about subscribing to the Post. And I know we were supposed to cancel those after their kind of questionable treatment of black stars and athletes or whatever. I just like reading Page Six and some of their angles. Did they really do that, or are you making this up? Some of the best Florida Man stories I've actually encountered by being on by reading that. And that was one of the major things, many things that I used to like about going north and at least traveling to real airports, was my ability to get not just the New York Times, but also to get my New York Post. But after reading a couple the past week of the Times Free Press in Chattanooga, some of the how some of the stories are written. Now, don't get it twisted. It does have the feel that a lot of some of the articles are written by freelancers, but there is also reports about, for example, Front Page this morning, that report actually started over the weekend about a lawyer, he and his wife are getting divorced, and how she is who also is a lawyer, how she was having an affair with her boss. I don't know if she's a clerk for this judge, but she used her influence with him to get a restraining order and get him removed out of the house because he shopped around to different judges, got the restraining order or TRO on her behalf, and evidently it's a violation of legal ethics. And also, he shouldn't be having an affair with a married woman, evidently, who also works for him. Abuse of power, craziness, it's sour grapes, but she basically played into the hands of this disgruntled and spurned husband. All of this is actually happening in Pikesville. So I really don't have to subscribe to the New York Post to get some dirt, because even in this great state of Tennessee, we have people tripping. So I'm going to postpone subscribing to it and just keep up with my Vanity Fairs, my House Beautiful, and my food and wine books, and just read the Times Free Press, because you never know when you're going to roll up on stories like that. I'm also interested in another, this is actually in part B, where Kanye West is still off his meds. I swear to God. He is basically going state to state trying to get on the ballot. And it seems it's a Herculean task, but if you're manic, you got all the energy in the world. He is running under the independent birthday party, y'all. I can't make this up. He has to secure a certain amount of signatures on these, a certain amount of signatures on to basically present like 275 for the state of Tennessee verified signatures to be able to get on each state on an individual ballot. He evidently had over 1,000 signatures, and these are not small people that are actually signing. For example, there is a former longtime Democratic U.S. Representative Harold Ford. His children have signed this petition. And why do we think that we are going to vote for a clearly crazy candidate? Well, they did it before because Trump is a sociopath. So why wouldn't it? It makes sense for us to, it would make, people would think that we would vote for this fool. And I take that back. If I think he's mentally ill, I think he needs to be stabilized. But if this is some diversionary tactic or some divisive tactic, shame on people that are using this brother. That's all I got to say about that. Because he has actually gotten on the ballot in Iowa, Arkansas, Colorado, Oklahoma, Utah, and Vermont. I think it is a joke, and be careful what you wish for, because I once said that if Trump gets reelected, but also if for some write-in vote like Kanye, who is clearly unstable, this would be another sounding bell that I seriously would get the ham sandwich up out of town, because I could not live with another crazy person, literally unstable person, occupying the White House. And last but not least, my last comment is why I am just so impressed with Dolly Parton. I didn't realize until this morning that I'm right down the road from Dollywood. Every time it seems like that I plan on visiting there, something else happens. And this year, I wasn't able to get up there because everything is basically closed down. And I don't trust being in big crowds or whatever. But a couple of years ago, she renamed her Dixie Stampede in the wake of the Charlottesville white supremacist rally. And true to her form, and she actually has in a well-deserved reputation for being one of the nicest people and just for being really fair. But one of the things that she basically said that basically struck with me is they asked her about, she hasn't attended any marches, but does she still support and the protest movement and the push for racial justice? And this is what she said verbatim, and I'm like, go Dolly. I understand people having to make themselves known and felt and seen. And of course, Black Lives Matter. Do we think our little white asses are the only ones that matter? No. They basically now have added that statement to a mural of her in Nashville. And this is one of those things that I would support. If it gets vandalized or somebody else wants to take issue or umbrage with it, you need to go and sit down somewhere, because that's the truest thing you've never said. Stephen Colbert also is trolling the RNC as the whitest of white rallies that he has come in contact with. But it just makes me, when other white people are dragging other white people, I find it hysterical. And you can only be accountable to yourselves and call out other people when they do their dirt and when they do their nonsense. And Dolly Parton and Stephen Colbert get my big ups for their statements and how they approach Black Lives Matter in this Klan rally they're calling the RNC. So that's all I got to say about that. So this is probably one of my best parts of the podcast, where I get to vibe with a really, really good friend of mine, Miss Yvonne Patrick. She's an administrative assistant or administrator at HIMSS, the IT club that I used to be actively involved with, basically since 2014, 2015. When I left at Venice in 2016, and then I came back as MD representative in 2017, it was one of those experiences that was made even more positive because I got to meet Yvonne as a professional, and then we became friends when I left the committee, and I don't participate with that organization anymore. But we have roadside chats all the time. We joke about Yvonne 2.0 and The Widow Chronicles, which I'm hopeful she is writing, because I want to interview her when she publishes in Femme. I want to basically review and read it for the listener's pleasure on my podcast before she blows up. But she also is a creative. She's a chef by training. And she also, she writes poetry, and she is a writer. But she's also one of the few people that I call my friends. And when I thought up this part of the podcast, while I was speaking to another one of my friends, Cheryl Sheets, and I'm hopeful that we can, that I will be able to also play or to be able to share with you that conversation about this next part of the show, is because all of us are different ages and we all have different perspectives about what's going on today as Black men, Black women, and in particular, why are Black men so in their feelings about Kamala Harris? And the way Yvonne started out the conversation, she said, just basically take her resume and put it up against yours and start right there at that comparison. And we can actually have a conversation, start right there. But more than that, her qualifications and her life experiences makes her uniquely qualified for this job. And if you're all up in your feelings and you're making up things just to make yourself feel better, don't do it, because pound for pound, just like all those women were qualified, she is uniquely qualified for the job. And Yvonne's perspective on why Black men are having such difficulty riding for her has nothing to do with anything that makes sense. She is qualified for this job. So, without any further delay, I'm going to share with you the conversation I had and recorded earlier with my friend, Yvonne Patrick, Yvonne 2.0 of the Widow Chronicles. This is, the recording has started, but this is just an opportunity for you to, your own personal opinion. I'm probably in the working of how the podcast is. More than likely, I'm going to have it as part of the podcast in total.
Perfect. Yeah.
But if we get in my usual chattiness, I may have to cut it down. I'm not really.
But that's the cool thing about it. You can edit, right? You have the power.
I can edit. I'm not going to be able to bleep anything out. So if we cuss, we cuss. I don't care.
We're grown people. This is grown people.
Grown people. Only grown people listen to my podcast. The seven people that do. International. I got like 8 fans. So I am hoping this is going to be shared with others.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yes. And it's practice. It's good practice for me. Never done one of these, so yeah.
And I just want to do a disclaimer. Oh, and Penny, I'm sorry. I'm just not.
It's all good.
If I roll and I get like a sponsor, then if I invite you back,
Felicia, you pay me an awesome conversation, so we're even. It's all good. Yes, ma'am.
So when I thought about doing this, I did not think of this, and it really wasn't me thinking of this myself.
Okay.
I was talking to Cheryl earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about about Kamala? It was about Mary Trump's book and how they released one of the recordings from Trump's sisters, one of his older sisters,
okay.
The one that's the judge.
Yeah.
And in the process of that conversation, I had 2 ideas that I wanted to include, not even in the podcast that I'm getting ready to produce for today, I wanted to utilize, because I knew this was going to be multi-part, because yeah. there was a whole bunch of people I wanted to talk to, but and I knew because of time, I wanted to break it apart.
That was smart.
And the yeah. RNC is fitting to start tomorrow.
Yep.
I'm not watching the RNC. I'm okay. not able to watch even the recaps, because I don't think I'm going to even get to my TV, the remote, fast enough to mute out when they talk about that Klan rally. I don't need that type of negativity in my life.
Exactly.
So I think this is going to be like what I did during December, where okay. I recorded like the 12 podcasts of Christmas, and I did 12 back-to-back podcasts. So this is going to be the one of today, but I'm going to be producing all 4 days of the RNC just because I'm not watching TV. I'm not going to be able to do it.
I hear you.
Y'all just going to have to text me or tweet me and just send it to me, because I ain't watching the news the rest of this week.
Wait, not even the recap, huh?
I can't do it, because I know it's going to be rah, 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 go to the right, and I just don't need that right now.
Yeah.
So that, the whole reason for this and why I texted you was because after watching the Democratic convention, I had multiple thoughts. One was, I don't recall ever watching the DNC ever. Yeah. I've been voting since I was 18, and the first Democrat I voted for was Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And I was so proud. I remember going to the poll, but even then, I never watched the conventions. Okay. It wasn't until this year that I wanted to watch and to get a kind of a handle. They made the announcement that Senator Harris was the VP. And the first thing that came out was that it seems like the Democrats are focusing on women and Black women in general. And then he picked a prosecutor, former attorney general. She was too tough on crime and blah, 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 blah. What about us? What about us? What about us? And before I went to my man-hating woman club tone, I wanted to get a different variety, all professional women, and see what they thought. And that's why I texted you. And that's why I also texted Lawrence, because he's my go-to male. He's so eloquent. I love talking to Lawrence.
Yes.
That's going to be a really cool conversation, I think. Mm-hmm. But
what's
your take on it?
Yay, Kamala.
Straight up.
Anyone who has something to say, put your resume up next to hers.
If there's no comparison, she's brilliant.
Then let's have a conversation. That's the starting point of me even listening to you. Put your resume up against hers. Then we could possibly have a conversation. That's my opening statement right there.
And that's the warning shot, because do you think, and is it an intimidation factor, or people, the stuff that they're saying makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with her ability to do the job. It has all this crazy stuff that they're saying is out and out wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what irks me to know.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. My team on my job had a team meeting, and one of the topics was subconscious. It was a podcast, excellent podcast on subconscious racial bias. Mm-hmm. It's a subconscious, and people don't realize that the subconscious is so real. You know, and perfect example, we could all sit in an audience, and on the stage walks a white male. On the stage walks a Black male. On the stage walks a white female. On the stage walks a Black female. If we could somehow scan the audience and getting inside people's minds, that subconscious initially. Mm. And I think subconsciously what we do is white male steps to the podium, excellent orator speaker, black male steps to the podium. Now it's intensity to see if he really knows what he's talking about. Now it's that true, now we're really listening. And it's the subconscious, what I call a subconscious bias, you know. Before even Kamala, just saying her name as the pick, before, there's so many people don't even know her extensive resume. It's subconscious bias, that initial reaction that people are, it's a knee-jerk reaction. That's the start right there. That's where it begins. It's a subconscious thing that's in our society. It just is.
And this is me. And it wasn't until she ran, even when she was a presidential candidate, I did not know the extent of, if you're going to laugh at this, Kamala Harris is blacker than me. She had the quintessential black experience.
Yep.
She went to Howard.
Howard University, yep.
And she's an AKA.
She's an AKA, yes.
I went to Lily White, Mary Washington in Fredericksburg because I got scholarship. Yes. There were 250 of us on campus for 4 years.
35 yes. people. Yes.
So with that said, she had that experience. And she went back to California and shredded it.
Yep.
You know, as a prosecutor, as DA, and then as an AG.
Yep.
You know, and then she's a senator, you know, and she did all of this. Even I can't imagine what they're telling and saying about her now, which is probably wrong, is probably no worse than what was told to her in DC when she was at Howard and making her climb through the prosecutor's office. I don't even want to imagine.
Exactly.
I don't even want to imagine.
Absolutely.
But even in spite of that, you know, she is pretty badass. And
yes.
That goes without saying.
Yeah.
And seeing her on this international or global stage,
yeah.
And the way she carries herself through her speech.
Absolutely.
I don't care that who wasn't chosen at this point, because Joe Biden made his choice.
Yeah.
He could have, any of the women would have been great,
sure.
But she is greater. And the adversarial system she's getting ready to put back together, she understands it because she is a lawyer. She understands
absolutely.
The law, and we know she can read. So,
yes.
That said,
yes.
You know, get out your feelings. The system itself, I get it, but it's a win, not just for women. It's a win for all of us.
It's
what
just
is going on about these.
I'm gonna tell you. People can disagree with me or right. That pairing right there, that's a good match.
Mm.
I'll go into detail and tell you why. That's a good match in corporations. That's a good match. That's a good balance right there. It is. It's a good
balance. Because I see a pairing, like if he had chosen Gretchen, the governor from Michigan, or Elizabeth Warren and her war on breaking up large companies, that wouldn't have flown in Silicon
right.
Valley or even in Gig City, Chattanooga.
Right.
They would have just, that would have flipped everybody out. They always claim that the Democratic Party is left swinging and too liberal. Just because you want to do what's right and to follow science, that is actually considered too liberal in the South. I've seen the commercials. And anyone that truly can work across the aisle to really get some work done instead of just looking to be reelected is seen as liberal.
Yeah.
So I'm bothered by that they are making that. And they're saying she's not progressive enough. She's not liberal enough. She's not this. She's not that. But at the end of the day, that's his choice. Shut up. Go sit down somewhere and stop making up shit. You know, that's what I wanted to do. Just stop making it up.
Exactly.
Check your facts.
I love when you said that. Get out of your feelings.
Exactly.
Get out of your feelings.
So you want another 4 years of someone that is really on the destruction of the country and yes. that doesn't give a damn about your life?
Not at all. Not at all.
What are your choices here, bro?
Right. Exactly.
Kanye ain't going to get on a ticket. We don't need another lunatic in the White House. Stop it.
And here you have that male-female balance, which is needed in the world. You need that balance. I'm even going there. I'm focusing on that. Two brilliant people in their own rights.
Right.
Race, age, sex, all of that. It's a good balance for what's needed now. It's interesting when people talk about whatever religion you believe in, you talk about, I've heard growing up in the Catholic Church, you know, the end of the world and Christ will come again. I took it deep one night, you know, and people don't understand how the end of the world may look.
Do you think we're in the end times now? Or
the world that we knew before March? Mm-hmm.
It's no longer
a new world. And when they say the meek shall inherit the earth, kind of delve into those two subjects right now. We're in a new world. I'm not saying it can be amazing. It can be even better. But the world as we knew it before March is not here anymore. It's just
so, and people that are fighting to return to how it was.
Yes.
I'm thinking y'all got to get over that because.
Yeah.
That's not possible anymore.
It's a new world order now. It's a new world. It just is. And the meek, the people who were at the bottom of the barrel are rising up. The meek shall inherit the earth. Be careful now because that's where we're headed. So we could take it. We have variations. We could take that to so many variations. But that's my look on that, like, huh, interesting. This is interesting. It's a new world now. The way we're living.
I mean, just in general, you know, how you can look at the isolation or continue shelter in place as also a new norm too. I would love to be able to sit outside if I didn't have to sit and talk to anybody or go anywhere. But then again, that's me just being weird and I know I need to get over that. But the days of freedom. I was talking to a high school classmate of mine and yeah. Eric Hawkins. He's also my third cousin, but that's a whole different other ball of wax. We both are our peers. And I had not talked to him since we graduated from high school. And I graduated 31 years ago. So I hadn't talked to this brother one-on-one since we actually left. And I don't even remember talking to him that much as flowers we kiki'd last week.
Yeah.
But I think this virus and how we were, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to try to reconnect with as many people as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Or you're going to do what I had to do. Somebody that I had gone to school with since like the fourth grade, I ended up blocking her on Facebook because I was realizing that, okay, I do have some memory of you being this stupid in high school. And I knew if I can't have, again, no negativity.
Yeah, yeah.
With you being against, she's still at this point with 170,000 people and strong dying. She's still mad about having to wear a mask. She's still mad about no social gatherings. And she equates free speech with false news, being allowed to basically spread bile and hatred and incite violence as because Facebook and Twitter don't want you to do that and they will take your shit down and ban you from your platform. She thinks we're living in a communist state because we won't let fools talk, spew hate and that kind of nonsense. You know, those days are gone. You cannot do that. And it's not right. You know, sometimes I think people are too, you can be a real oversensitive and politically correct, but why would you want to say something that goes against to hurt somebody else unless exactly. you really want to? And I don't, and that's where the balance is.
Yeah.
At the radicalization of all of these social media platforms and them trying to at least reset the bar, it's kind of out of the bag. I'm like, where the hell were y'all? Did nobody read the terms of service 10 years ago? And now you're trying to enforce that after you let people wild out, at least for the last four. Yeah, it's about time. I don't know.
And then I encourage people to just do their research. Don't just because someone put up a meme or a quote and then you agree and do some research. Exactly. My friend and I have a funny joke. You know, we're applying for something, shopping, credit card, and the terms and conditions, we don't even read it. We just click check. What if was after 5 years, you have to donate your left kidney? But we had already agreed to
it. It's all in the fine print. You remember that, what was that show? Willy Wonka and Chocolate Factory, where they all signed their names and in the bottom, the last. But nobody read all of that and he bought it back the half of the contract. That's how we live. Nobody reads that stuff.
No one reads, no one takes the time to research. We're missing so too many free thinkers. I'm grateful for my parents who unfortunately passed away when I was younger, by the time I was 27. But even as young kids, they encouraged us. So I grew up with that. Don't just take a comment or someone's word. I remember even questioning certain things with my pastor in the Catholic Church. I said, I'm trying to understand, you know, even as a child's mind, help me understand. I want not just accept it because you say so, it's okay to question, you know?
Being in a Baptist, Southern Baptist, and then Church of God in Christ growing up, I needed to go when I went non-denominational, and it wasn't until I became an adult and realizing what we were taught as kids had nothing to do with the Bible. None of that was in the Bible. It was an interpretation or doctrine, but it was supposedly like literal, biblically based, but sometimes I found out it wasn't even that. I'm like, y'all just misrepresent the word, and here it is.
Yeah.
In T.D. Jakes' church, it was there was a fellowship, a Bible fellowship. It was encouraged to study and know the word.
Right.
No, I can't quote scripture, chapter, and verse, but at the same time, it was still encouraged to study. Study and know the word.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the tone. You were supposed to be silent.
Yes.
And you're supposed to be obedient.
Yeah.
And sometimes they were wrong.
Yeah, yep.
But when Joe Biden, his mama it was gangster. Said,
yes.
You mess with my child.
She
one more time. I'm gonna come back and I'm snatch that body.
I'm gonna snatch
that body. Do you know how gangster you have to be to say you go jack up a nun? Do you know how gangster that is?
And
how
else are you supposed to turn out if that was your mother? Oh my goodness.
You were going to just basically protect her and use her all 5 foot of her as that's how gangster you will jack up a nun if they
exactly. I will snatch
the bonnet off of you. Catch your bonnets. That was hysterical.
So I don't get emotionally caught up in the comments about Kamala, because guess what? Kamala has a seat at the table at the end of the day.
Right. I think also that in some respects, and this may go back to her her immigrant parents' heritage.
Yeah.
If she can have a seat at the table, I'm sure she also knows how to build her own shit. So if it wasn't there, I'm sure she had to make her own road.
And then she didn't just roll out of bed, toss her hair back, and get handed the senator's seat.
Nope.
Her diploma from Howard University. All of that.
Mm-hmm. She had to. Always fighting, always building her road. And that her story is the story of two separate immigrant classes.
Yes.
I didn't know until this came out that her mama was Indian.
Yeah. I had known prior.
I had no idea. And that's
a while. Yeah.
And my own not knowing and not being educated. But she is America, you know, yes. And she experienced that. But then you got these people. Have you heard of this movement that are trying, you have to prove just how black you are and she ain't black enough.
See?
They say, and this comes back to reparations.
Yeah.
If you are not descended from Americans, the slaves from America, you're not considered black enough. So you're not going to you shouldn't be allowed to get reparations. Number one, I don't understand why we're having this conversation now.
Yeah.
The way, if you read the Constitution, if you could prove that you only had a drop of Negro or black blood in you, you were black, it don't matter. Descended from slaves or not, you're black. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. The focus is another distraction or detraction.
It's a distraction. Absolutely. And I've told you this, we've had this conversation quite often, and you know, it's just my voice. Yes, I am a light-skinned, proud African-American woman. So many times, especially when I was younger, throughout my life, Yvonne, what are you? So I just started being comical. I said, I'm a Libra. Force people to really say exactly what you want to say. And well, what do you mix with? Because it's obvious that you're light. I mean, you know, no offense, Yvonne, no offense, but you're not dark. I said, let me break it down for you. Bottom line, my birth certificate from 1966 reads Negro.
Mine does too.
That's my nationality. Yeah.
Mine says Negro. My mother says color. So
yeah,
it don't matter who, what, because I'm sure I don't want her to produce her birth certificate because I knew she was born in Southern California.
Right.
I'm wondering if Kamala, because she's my age, I think hers just says Negro too.
Yeah.
He identifies as Jamaican. And
right. See, that was before they had all these boxes now.
Right. She's from the generation. Female and Negro.
That's it.
I can almost guarantee that's what her birth certificate says.
Yeah. I can almost guarantee that too. Absolutely. Because if you just had a drop, right?
Right. Are Negro, black,
which proves your point back then. All you had to do was have one of the, okay, Negro. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and she is not even the lightest of light, because you could walk into a room, number one, knowing that she went to Howard. I'm like, okay, she's fake.
I'm lighter than her.
Exactly. But both of you, if I walked in the room,
right?
No, neither one of y'all could pass.
Exactly.
Y'all have too much sun, and we already know.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And I think the detractors is they try to say she's not American. Stop it. Then you got these people that say she's not black enough. Stop it. She is.
Yeah.
And then if you just would look at her record and her experience. With the exception of Demings and Susan Rice,
yes,
all of them have their strengths and weaknesses. But as you said, and I think you put it brilliantly, as far as a yin and a yang,
yes,
and you realize that Chinese symbol is black and white.
Yes,
both she and Joe are a balance.
Balance. It's a balance. It just is like married.
He ran for president three times without a third time being a charm. And with his experience for 8 years as the VP, he's been able to support. He's been in that supporting role. But as far as the lesser of definitely an evil, he's the go-to to, and it's, And I'm going to, and I'll get to that point later.
Sure.
Why did we actually have to have an old white dude to plow the way for us? Because that's the only way that we could get to the point. I don't care how you get to the finish line, but if you get there legally and with empathy, Joe is the way that it's going to be need to be done.
Yeah.
I don't think, now looking back at 26, people that initially started out and included Bloomberg, I don't think any of them, knowing what we know now, are better positioned to be able to bring as many people work and have the experience of working across the aisle than Joe Biden. Am I completely excited about it? I still think he's so handsy. I still cringe when he talks because I don't know if he's going to say something crazy. But at the same time, I think this is what we have. What can we do to let him get support monetarily or whatever?
Yeah.
And his choice. Again, get out of your feelings.
Get out of your feelings.
What is the real issue? Why don't y'all like her? Is it because she's too strong, too loud, not black enough? All of those have nothing to do with her ability to do the job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I told you that subconscious. It's a subconscious bias in our society. I'm guilty.
That's what makes me so angry. Yeah. Girls are saying this crap. And
yes.
I'm like, y'all need to go sit down somewhere because this is dumb.
Well, look within our own race. I mean, look what we have. Even no one wants to talk about it at times like this, but it is. It's just that social bias. You can watch a fine, magnificent Rastafarian walk in before he even opens his mouth.
Drug dealer.
It's he opens his mouth and he's a freaking opera singer, or he's an orator that will bring you to your knees with his conversation or his singing, just his voice alone. It's a social bias. That's what we do. I can't get started on the male-female divide in this world. I won't even get started with that. It's a subconscious. It just is. It just really is.
Because I look at, Geraldine Ferraro, and I'm going to stop there because I think, and I still believe this, Sarah Palin was jackass. I thought she was stupid. And I'm like, if you're going to pick one,
I am not arguing with you on that point whatsoever. Low.
She was a bag of rocks. And the idea that if John McCain had gotten it, and something had happened to him while he was in office and she had to step up, that's the only reason why Grand Wizard number two, if something happened to Swoop Cheeto Boy and Grand Wizard number two, he step in.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
Yep.
You have to pick somebody that is not as a stronger personality like Cuomo, because they were like, well, would you pick him? But why are you going to pick somebody that can be president? But at the same time, I think 2020 is also a harbinger of 2024 or 2028, because don't get it twisted, she's going to run for president again.
Yes, and she is.
A president in training. That's what they basically should call the VP this year.
I agree.
President.
See, we're in a new world now, and it's a lot of dinosaurs who are still hanging on. There are a lot of people who are still stuck, like you say, in their feelings, in the old school style, that old world that we knew it. You all better pay attention to these millennials. You all better pay attention to these young people. My nephews, it's a 26-year age difference. It was actually beautiful to hear them say, Auntie Yvonne and Mom, okay, yeah, I think it's awesome that Barack Obama, he's president, but why are people making such a big deal? Okay, he's a president. See, it's a different thought process now a little bit with the younger generation, right? My parents would have been crying. You saw Jesse Jackson crying because we knew what that meant
to see
that in our lifetimes. But then you have younger people now, who are just kind of like, they're digging each other a little bit more. Because racism, a lot of it is passed down. A lot of it is,
The worst races outside of my job that I've met have all been people of color.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I'm not.
And they said, you know, I honestly think that it is possible to be a minority and be a racist. Yeah. Some of the worst cops that I've rolled up against or I've heard about are, and that's one of the things that people complain about Kamala Harris, because she had something to prove as a black
right.
woman that yes. she's more of a hard ass and hard on crime.
Because to prove that, yeah.
But the flip side is some of the, you didn't like in the South, especially in Georgia, you didn't want a GPD to roll up on you on the interstate at night because you knew if he was black, it could go left even worse and even faster than wow. some of the white cops. That's yeah. just the way it is, because mm-hmm. they knew they get treated like crap, so they were going to treat and be worse and harder just to prove a point, you know yeah. what I mean? So, yeah. And that was what people actually complained about her. She was really tough on crime at the time mm-hmm. Where people, what were you expecting? She's a prosecutor.
Yeah.
They have to win. She ain't gonna have no job. She ain't gonna be able to get no AG if she's a little softy on crime and she let your stupid ass get through.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, it is.
What do you want? She's a prosecutor.
Absolutely.
Like, she was supposed to be a lawyer. She was supposed to be in the house having kids and married. Really? No, that wasn't gonna be her. Mm-hmm. It ain't gonna be me. Like, there's people like me all the time. We just roll with our little trucks. We have our Corona Twist.
Yep.
We don't care. And exactly. we do our job and we buy coach purses.
That's there you go. There you go.
I have no aspirations for public office because I don't like people that much.
Oh, I don't want to be fat. It's almost like a curse.
Exactly. Expectations.
Yeah,
and they gonna dig through and find some crazy stuff that I said once upon a time, and am not
right.
I'm not across the aisle kind of person.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you what I think and how we should get through. You don't want to believe me. You don't want to do it. That's it. I would never be a great missionary, and I would never be a great representative because I don't need to talk to people again. There's a certain things I don't need to say. Tell you don't need to talk me deaf at 5 o'clock. So this late night filibustering crap, I would never do that. You want to stay and do what? No, I'm not going to be able to do that. 8:15, you want to have a meeting or 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock meeting? Nope, not doing that. You want to meet me where and do what?
Yeah.
You're cutting into cocktail time and also cutting into my sleep, because I know I probably didn't go to sleep because I was out watching Mike and Molly or listening to Prince records. Up at 3 o'clock in the morning, just because I can. But I don't want to talk to nobody.
people, that's why I stay off of a lot of comments. I say, you guys don't want to hear what I say, because while you're making all these comments about her, how are you helping your own family? What kind of family member are you? What are you doing on your own block? What are you doing in your own neighborhood? So let's go there, you know. But like I said,
shut it on down real quick.
And I saw that on a really good friend's timeline when someone was challenging him on Kamala Harris. And he said, so I don't take credit for that. I have to share. He was like, put her resume up to anybody else's. And I took it a step further, say, yeah, then let's have a conversation. You know, it's easy to sit on your couch with all your freaking opinions, but I'll end with the best thing I ever learned from my mom. Oh my goodness. As long as you know the truth of a situation, that's the end of the day. That's all that matters, you know, period.
Right.
I know who I'm voting for. And I
know who I'm voting for.
Fight for it. Yes.
And that's the other plan. You're moving. Have you made the decision? How are you going to try this vote by mail thing, or are you going to come back and vote?
No, I'm going to the polls. I'm actually going to the polls. That's what I'm doing. And I know you and I had talked about it. And I have a friend who works at the Board of Elections. And I said, yeah, I'm just, because it's such a close window. It's too close. And I said, that's okay. I will vote in person.
Take a day of it. You're going to do just like I did. You know, I'm voting early. And then I'm working at the polls.
I'm doing the early voting, And I'm not too far. I mean, I'm only, you know, a quick 40-minute ride away, but it is so worth it. It is so worth it. And I will do that. It is not an inconvenience to do this. Not at all.
And that, but again, it takes educating yourself, knowing where the early voting stations are.
Number yes.
More than that, making sure, ensuring that you are registered to vote, and yep. then making sure you know where all the early voting stations are, and yep. then finding out what it takes to do whatever you can to support.
Because that's what I said. It starts in my family. Hey, guys, we all good? Everybody, we're good? Yeah.
Make it a family outing. Yeah, I think that's
yes, and that's what I'm doing with my twin and nephews. Hey, we're going together. Thumbs up with the yep, I voted kind of photo.
Y'all take that selfie because that, yeah. I mean, what we know now, and they voted to basically try to bail out, but I think it may still be able to be blocked in the Senate.
Yeah.
To bail out USPS, but I think that's not enough. And I think these people, it's an act of treason or treachery. If you say you're not going to vote because your candidate didn't get nominated, or my vote really doesn't count. Yeah, it kind of does. In the battleground yeah. states, definitely. Every single vote needs to be counted.
Yes.
And again, get out your damn feelings.
Get out your feelings. One thing, that's why I love working in the business world, because I learned to do that, even in my conversation, in my writing. Remove your feelings. You lose credibility. Well, I feel, especially as a woman, I'm just keeping it real. Stay away from the feelings, Yvonne. Base it on facts and the presentation of it. Remove your feelings. Well, I feel no one's listening to you when you started.
I basically go shut girl. That down.
They don't. And I had to learn that. And I had amazing mentors of all nationalities. Yes, I have, men and women. And I'm still learning. I'm forever learning. You know, one of the best conversations I ever had in my life was with, you know, Representative John Lewis to this day. It was life-changing. When I was in my 20s, like, wow. First of all, you took the time. It was him and General Colin Powell. Those are two conversations I will never forget, because I respect both of them, because I watch how you roll. I don't listen to you. I watch you.
And it's consistent.
Yes.
It's consistent.
Yes, absolutely.
So in an effort, you know, complete transparency, we have Kiki, and you always, as usual, let me talk you to death.
Yeah.
But consistency and true blueness and realness, and not being measured just by feelings. It's going to be of character,
yes,
and making the right decision for the greater good instead of what that decision can do for you. You know, right. Being and having the balls to make that decision.
Yeah,
that's what it's going to come down to. And no matter what the feelings are. This is what they call Father Barack said this. This is going to be a battle against annihilation.
Yeah.
So we got to vote.
Yeah.
And this is who you're going to get.
Yes.
And if you don't vote just because you said, I don't like her, why don't you like her? But you don't come with proof in the pudding or some
come
truth.
Strong.
You don't need to go sit down somewhere, because that's just stupid and it's idiotic and it's childish. And you need to go sit down somewhere.
Exactly. Absolutely. But I don't get passionate with people like, oh, I can't believe it's one of those. Well, you know, like my mom said, if you know the truth, you know, and who wants to waste their time on an idiot? I mean, I have better things to do. I'd rather make an omelet, you know, than that. Who has time for that? My time is so precious now, but yes, man, she got a seat at the table from this day forward. You know, she's set. But it can't be one sex. It can't be always all men. It can't always be all women. Lord knows, and I can honestly say that you need that balance. It balances out for a reason. It just does, you know. It's a good balance. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I know who I'm voting for. I know who I'm voting for. Yep.
Well, we just trying to vote. That's all sisters
That's it.
Are trying to do.
And I feel proud every time I go. Our ancestors, people lost their lives for this, for us. You know,
John Lewis got busted in the head. He sustained a skull fracture.
I represent, I love being an African American. I love my African American men. I love my African American women. I love all people. If you're good to me, I love you back. That's how I roll. Peace and love to all, you know. But I don't listen to things that I disagree with, and I don't even bother. I am open for good debate. I've learned things. I've been humbled on things. I've eaten crow on things, you know. I've even had issues, my own personal issues. I don't mind admitting when I was younger with men, with black men, but it changes as you get older and you're a free thinker. You open up your mind. Yeah.
And don't get it twisted. Again, this is not a meeting of men hating black men.
Exactly.
This
exactly.
is right is right.
Yes.
And get out your damn feelings.
And you said it perfectly, and that should be the title of your podcast. Get out your D with the asterisk feelings. Get
exactly.
out of them.
Because it's not going to make any sense any other way.
No.
You still have to vote. She's the choice. Get
yeah.
out your
Get out your feelings. Get out your feelings. Absolutely. Well, if I'm not at the polls, that means either both of my legs are broken and I'm in a coma in the hospital.
Drug-induced coma is the only reason why I'm not going to be able
Otherwise, to. Wheel my ass there and I'll come back. I'm voting. I am voting.
Oh, you know they got portable ventilators, so I already know that my job, my insurance pays for that. If they just reverse the sedation, they wheeling me on a hospital bed up in there. I'm just saying.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so thank you, Yvonne. I'm getting ready to stop the recording. So all good things must come to an end, and in this podcast, I must. The last part of the episode had to do with my chat about Kamala Harris, but I've also been, in addition to reading, I'm also still continuing with my writing. Not so much blog post, but I did finish my first script as for called Hamilton Heights, the saga of the protagonist Catherine Sloper. Again, that script was based on the 1949's Olivia de Havilland, the heiress, where she won an Oscar for her role as Catherine Sloper. I've used the protagonist again in From Tennessee with Love in my second iteration. I initially thought about writing another script, but I decided that maybe I would leave the script to the script writer, even though I'm getting some really good coverage on Coverfly for Hamilton Heights. That almost broke me. And it cost a lot of money to get those things heavily edited. So I have decided to use the modern day Catherine Sloper as she's married and also under the backdrop of COVID and why she had to go back to Tennessee. And the more I write about these two characters, how they were married for almost 20 years, but her and her husband, Brian Cooper, they actually lead very different lives. And this is another chapter that I wrote. It says, this is Kat. We never were unhappy, but there was always a distance. We showed up together, we answered and appeared as one, but we were different. New York was just a part of me, just as much as Chattanooga. Saturdays were searching for knockoffs and dim sum on Canal Street and coffee while I read the Sunday Times. Walking along the bridge, strolling the East River, the Hudson with friends, open air. That's what my handwriting, I wish I could actually type this instead of trying to write this out, but open air parties with a league of my friends. Oh, open air painting with the art league or visits from Southern families itching to see the big city. Not so concerned to be fish out of water. I was more New York than my pro athlete transplant husband, who he, a true Southerner, wanted to shake off any vestige of his Southern heritage. When another sportcaster commented on his cultured Southern accent, what he heard is, "You sound like a hayseed. You don't belong." With that, he would hire his first stylist and speech coach. This was in preparation even before he took his on-air post NFL career. He had to be at every new IT club. I was more into offbeat gallery opens and off-Broadway premieres. He had to be at the new overpriced and weird fusion restaurant. I was over the moon when Popeyes finally came to Midtown, concerned that they wouldn't mess up the recipe, which they did for the first 3 years. But I think they changed the cook and fryers, so they're good now. Side note, I became an investor and they expanded throughout the five boroughs and upstate. What are you talking about? And with that and my investments in waste management, unknowingly, I was recession-proofing my finances and would shore up my rainy day fund against a virus that would decimate the economy or bring our economy to its knees. The harder I worked to solidify the joyous memories of my Southern heritage into my memory, my husband Brian was working harder than ever to edit out any vestige of home. He would not come back until coronavirus forced his air evacuation. The next chapter is Brian, boy from fifth. I never told Kat because I knew she would never understand, but if she called off the wedding, I would have been relieved. I never wanted to be married. It was a leash to my past and I wanted no part of it. I work hard to play in to stay on field in shape even after it was all over. Lob shoes and Saville suits only for going out, Ralph Lauren button downs and Gucci loafers and handmade deck shoes were my weekend uniforms. I want nothing to do with the South. My family is okay trekking north because they knew if they wanted to see me, I was never coming back south. The closest is reunion in Miami and partying on South Beach, skipping the rest of the South. Traditions, boring, restraint, had to slam that door and burn it all down. It just takes so much money to recreate who I feel is the real me. But the maintenance is a lot. It got so bad that I got out of our place on Fifth and paid cash to restructure the debt associated with our house on Montauk in my boat. She paid cash. But I don't know from where. I know she got a grip when her grandparents died and then her father. But my lawyer said that the source of her funds were free from her annuity and her inheritance. The only reason I knew any of this was we signed on our prenup. I was not entitled to any of the interest gained in any future proceeds besides our joint venture. which there are any. What was mine is mine, and what was hers, but no financing and not touching the principal of those funds. She paid $6 million without blinking an eye. Did I not ask for enough, or is she, or does she have a hidden stash? Kat, $6 million is a drop in the bucket for me, but where did his money go? He started 10 years ago with the, and played for 10 years with the NFL, his endorsements, then his long-term gig with ESPN. Why am I worth more than Brian? I answer a call from his father and his uncle in the early 90s. Hey there, girl. Brian stopped paying taxes on the family inheritance years ago. The family homestead in Soddy Daisy in Bradley County is up for auction. Kat, wait, what? I thought the land was held in trust. The uncle, no. As the eldest, Brian's father reorganized the heritage. In the late 80s, the trust was dissolved. Brian's father cut all of us out, or bought all of us out. When he died, the property was heavily mortgaged. The policy for his mother, as well as his father, paid off the mortgages at his debt, but the taxes have not been paid on anything. Kat, so all that land that the family owned and fought for and on, the uncle, the state will take, Kat. And Brian won't take our calls, said, and the last time anybody was able to get up with them, said, let them foreclose. Kat, that's not an option. Hold on 1 minute. Then there's a click and then a ring. A secretary, Mather, Spader, and Cochran, Kat. Hi, Emily. Kat here. Emily. Oh, hi, Dr. K. How can we help you? Kat, I need to run something past Johnny. And I'm sorry I got into touch with him such abruptly. I have some family property that I need to secure in Tennessee. Johnny Cochran gets on. Hey, Kat, what can I do for you? My family homestead may be auctioned off, and we can't stop it. I'm more as a defense attorney, but I have Jay Spader on the line too, and I'm sure we can halt the sale. Spader, hi Kat. How many acres? All told, 2,000 acres spanning two counties. Spader, wow. Unimproved? It gives him an estimate of $20 million, but the state won't take that won't be able to make that at auction when there's over $28 million owing. But we may be able to stop the foreclosure and get the interest dropped. From there, things moved rapidly with the removal, with the paying of the taxes, inspections, reorganization, title, and a deed search. The land trust was reinstated. Sole property of Sloper LLC with the reestablishment of the Cooper Family Land Trust. The land deal would save the ancestral land for another century if managed properly and done without the knowledge of her husband or consent. I don't think he knows the importance of saving the family homestead, but he will be glad we acted. And that ends that section. And I'm really excited about the possibility of the continued saga of Kat and her husband and the lead up to them having to evacuate to Chattanooga. And this ends my time. That does it for this episode of Tennessee Fro is Reading. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much, again, as I've enjoyed creating it. Don't forget to check out Chatterbooks or Tennessee Froze online bookstore as I have updated, I have a new book list that I've added, President Obama's Picks for the Summer. Also selections of anything from Star Trek fiction, biographies to book swag. Navigate to writersblockcoffee.com and use my promo code TennesseeProIsReading for a discount off of your order. And to shipabagofdicks.com and using my promo code TennesseeProHasJokes to get a discount and to have a laugh out loud. There are certain people that deserve a bag of gummy dicks. Navigate there. It will do me a favor because I get a percentage of your purchase, as well as people just need it. Also, you can leave comments after this in any format or any of the different platforms that you may listen to my podcast. If they're not too trolly, I may actually read them on air, or you just shoot me at a girl at tenfroisreading@gmail.com. And enjoy this week. Enjoy me for part two of Why Black Men Won't Support Biden or Kamala Harris. This next episode, I'll be sharing thoughts from my friend Janelle, Cheryl, and my homeboy Lawrence, as we all ignore the RNC. And thank you for listening. Take care, y'all.